Welcome, everyone. If you'd please take your seats, we can begin this meeting. Welcome to the December 15th, 2012 meeting of the Washington Fish and Wildlife Commission. Glad to see everyone in the audience. We appreciate all the testimony that we will be hearing, so thank you for coming. Before we start, I just have to, given that this is a gathering of a lot of human beings, I have to ask for a moment of silence for the families in Connecticut who experienced such a terrible, terrible event yesterday. So please join me in a moment of silence. Thank you. The first item on our agenda for this morning is open public input, and we have a number of people who've signed up. I normally review the rules of commission public input, and they are that we would like you to come forward to the front table. Sit in a seat in front of a microphone, speak a few inches away from the microphone, not too close, not too far, and we give each person 3 minutes to provide input. You're welcome to bring handouts, and if you have any written materials that you'd like to share with the commission, you can give those to Tammy. She will make copies for all of us. So you're given 3 minutes each, and once you hear the beeping noise, that means your time is up, and we'd like you to conclude your remarks. If you do not conclude your remarks, I will interrupt you politely and let you know your time is up. The first person who signed up, I'll call you two at a time to the front table to just make this most efficient. Mark Gavin and Jennifer Stahl, would you please come forward? Hey, Mr. Gavin.
Hi, good morning. I wanted to speak on the proposal to adopt the increased allocation for sport-caught shrimp. I hope the commission adopts that. The shrimp belong to all the people in the state, and all people should have equal access. Additionally, sport-caught shrimp generate more jobs and also more revenue for the state. Thank you.
Thank you. Dan Cothran, would you please come forward? Okay, Ms. Stahl.
Good morning. My name is Jennifer Stahl, and my husband Jim and I have owned our sport fishing guide service for nearly 13 years now. Having lived in Everett for over 40 years, we originally targeted the Snohomish, the Skykomish, interspersed with the Skagit, and at that time, the faraway Cowlitz. But it did come quickly that we needed to focus our attention primarily on the Columbia, more specifically the lower Columbia, to have any true sustainability for our business. Along with the high interest in our Springer and Bowie 10 salmon runs, keeper sturgeon has been one of our top selling seasons. As of today, for the 2013 season, we have multiple days already booked with deposits along with accommodations arranged, as well as numerous others penciled in. The remaining days will easily fill up at the sportsman shows that we will attend here in Washington. Our primary client base lives in Snohomish, King, Skagit, and Thurston counties, while at the same time we have a very large population growing of clients in the Spokane and Wenatchee areas. One thing that all of our clients have in common, they are willing to travel to the lower Columbia for keeper sturgeon. We have clients that book the same days year after year and continue a tradition of sorts for that special time with father and son, husband and wife, or just the buddies. By not having a keeper sturgeon season in 2013, my husband and I and our family will be hit financially hard. With the extreme short notice, it would adversely impact our ability to fill that same time frame with another fishery. And we would lose out on at least $10,000 to $15,000 in revenue on our own. Not to mention that our clients have already reserved their hotels and arranged for time off of work. In addition to the area hotels, restaurants, gas stations, and so on, will also miss out on the additional revenue. From what we have been able to figure out, about $500 per person. Now, that's just our business. Multiply that by all of the guides and charter boats that are on the Lower Columbia that also rely on the keeper sturgeon season. Of course, I do understand that sturgeon is not as plentiful as they were even 3 or 4 years ago. But shutting the season down completely without allowing businesses to prepare is just too extreme at this point. Decreasing the overall personal limit to 2 per year and moving to possible mandatory reporting, much like crab, would definitely help bridge this gap and give us the time that we need to properly educate our clients. I truly hope that nobody underestimates the impact a decision like this makes, and please consider carefully. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Kevin Newell, would you please come forward? Mr. Cawthorn?
Commission. My name is Dan Cawthorn. I've been a county commissioner for 12 years and just got reelected for another 4. I feel that Wakayakum County is under siege. We get it from the federal side, and now we're getting it from the state. My first thing on the agenda would be the issue with the game laws that we have for elk and the deer, the cow seasons. The season in Wakayakum County actually starts with the bow season in September, ends today, with additional seasons running into January. We cannot keep going the rate we're going here with the amount of elk and deer that we have lost from the hair loss, from the hoof rot. These seasons are way too long. The rifle season right now has extended 3 more days within the last few years. We're just not managing our elk herds. I'm just speaking for Wakayakum County at this time, but there's other counties affected too. This hoof rot is a major issue in our county. Our herds are not where they were, and we need to build those back up. And we're not going to be able to do that with what we have right now. I don't know what the biologists or what they're seeing that you have, but we have a real decline in our elk population. A deer has never came back. The commissioners have come up with a letter. I don't know if you folks have already got that, but it gives our concerns. The next concern I have is over the commercial fishing industry. We had a meeting here Tuesday night where we had had the commercial families in to speak and how this was going to affect them. It's pretty sad. I mean, this is our heritage. This is our history. You're taking these folks off the river if you vote for this. And we had legislative people there. Where's this money come from? You know, where are you going to get this money? I mean, the state is looking at a $2 billion shortfall. You have these off channels. Where are these off channels going to be in the state of Washington? You have Deep River. That itself is not going to be a productive river for salmon. I mean, it's basically shown that already. I really don't know where you're going to have all this off-channel and where you're going to get the money. Somebody's basically living in a fantasy world. I mean, we do budgets every year, and we're just striving to stay alive as a county. And we're just one of many counties on the Lower Columbia River just trying to stay afloat. But now our families are getting attacked. I mean, these commercial fishermen, I mean, you're looking at 25, 30% of our economy. You take that away, you're just putting a nail in our coffin. I mean, we have to fight the feds and the state constantly just to stay afloat. My 12 years has just been fighting endangered species issues, and now we have this. You know, enough is enough, and you folks need to, when you go home at night, you think of the families that this is affecting. Thank you.
Thank you. Ron Garner, could you please come forward? Okay, Mr. Newell.
Good morning. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak. I'm Kevin Newell. and I'm here to represent the Northwest Guides and Anglers Association and my business, Total Fisherman Guide Service. Both myself and my wife are fishing guides in Oregon. The Northwest Guides and Anglers Association is an association made up of avid anglers, sports fishermen, charter boats, and fishing guides in Oregon and Washington, and even in Idaho. We have over 30 members, and most of our members, if not all of them, have found in the last 10 years the current fishery situation in specifically the Columbia River to definitely be on the decline. It's harder and harder for us to find consistent opportunities. Harder and harder for us to find opportunity that puts customers in our boats and creates trust in our fisheries there. What we're asking for regarding the sturgeon fishery changes that have been proposed, specifically the 100% closure in 2013 to the retention fishery, is to have a transitional year. The Northwest Guides and Anglers Association is definitely concerned about the fish. Sturgeon are a high priority for us. We do not want to see these fish disappear. A few years ago, we were the strongest advocates, and we firmly believe that we got the law passed where we went to a single barbless hook rather than the double hook rig that was allowed to be used and the triple hook rigs that were allowed to be used for sturgeon. So we've shown in the past that not only how we harvest the fish, but the impact of the fisheries is definitely important to us. However, we need to balance the fishery with our ability to maintain a viable business. This proposed 100% closure has definitely blindsided us. I don't think any of us ever would have thought that having a five fish annual limit last year would wind up being a zero fish annual limit in 2013. I don't know anybody that was talking to any of us that said, hey, you better watch out. You're not going to have any fishing next year. You know, the two fish limit, a one fish limit, yeah, we thought maybe that was coming, but not a zero fish limit. I think the estimate for legal size fish in the Lower Columbia is 115,000 for 2013, and I believe the estimate for sturgeon overall in the lower 130 miles of the Columbia is somewhere approaching a million, so we don't believe that these fish are in any jeopardy of going extinct or being listed at this time. We have customers that are already booked. We have deposits that have already been received. It's going to be very difficult for us to keep their trust. It's going to be very difficult for us to maintain viable businesses by having to return their by having to turn them away. Please find a way to have a transitional year for us so we can stay in business. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Varner.
Thank you for coming to see me today. Thank you, Commission and Directors, for taking the time to hear us today. First, I'd like to say thanks for all the work you've done helping us with our shrimp issue. I know it hasn't been easy. It's been a tough one, but I just want to say thanks for all your hard work. I know how much work we put into it, and it was way more than I would have, about 10 times what I ever expected it to be. So that being said, I have several things, and I filled out two sheets. I don't know if I should just try and combine them, but I'm here to represent the Puget Sound Anglers State Board, 17 chapters in the state of Washington. We support the gill nets off the main stem of the Columbia River. It's long overdue. It would be good to have more wild fish in the long run return back to the Columbia River. It would unleash an economic engine that would be gigantic to the economy of Washington State, increase access and jobs. And in the early 90s, there was a buyout, put out $24 million to put the commercials into safe areas, and they're supposed to be off the water by 2000, which hasn't happened. And that being said, I'm going to move on to the proposals that we have out there. We have the ocean shrimp. I would like to see that ocean shrimp become a fishery, increase to 200 shrimp per person, which is number 63. Number 64, I would like to see us make legal cast nets to catch our own bait while we're tuna fishing for anchovies and sardines. And number 65, Cabazon, reduce the size limit. My only concern is Marine Area 4, to leave that out, leave that into the ocean where we work on the ocean issues. Keep 4 its own entity and don't cross over the Puget Sound on the Straits End Bonilla Tattoosh line. Number 66, close Marine Area 4 to black, blue, and yellowtail rockfish. Absolutely not. Number 68, reduce ling cod size. Doesn't matter if somebody wants a little ling cod, let them take it. Number 69, Marine Area 4, ling cod season, May 1st to June 15th. Again, leave the ocean its own entity and don't bring in the Puget Sound seasons. Ling cod are voracious predators. Everybody got my letter, right, with the picture of the yellow eye sticking out of the belly of the ling cod that was cut open? That happens a lot. You know, they're very voracious. We're seeing them come back in the Puget Sound. And then I'm going to move on down. That the Puget Sound Anglers is working with the Department of Fish and Wildlife. We're going to start a fish-to-centered device and rockfish education program because we seem to have a really bad problem of people misidentifying rockfish, which was a problem last year for shutting down yellow eye in the ocean in Marine Area 3 and 4. A lot of people don't realize that fish were written down as yellow eye that were not yellow eye, that put us over our impacts. And due to that, we're able to take that season and work that season of when our 120 and beyond closes, which it will be moved back for. It will take us off the water earlier, which, as we're working with yellow eye and canary, we're already under a management plan, and it is working. So if people think that the yellow eye and canary that we're in this rebuilding plan is not working, it is working. So that's what I have to say, and thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
I won't come up for the second one. That was it.
Okay, that concludes the open public input item on the morning agenda.